People need the good news.
Yes.
They need it now. It's the good news, even as we are now in our Passion Week. But the good news is Christ died, but he rose again. And so that's what we were sharing to people. The same God of the Bible, the same God, the Christ that rose from the dead. Amen. He's able to resurrect you no matter what situation, what condition, no matter what you're facing. He can raise you from that situation and give you new life. And here in his life, that God gives us eternal life if we accept him as our Savior.
Unity for Souls Crusade, upholding the legacy of saving lost souls, Thursday, April 4th at the historic Mason Temple Church of God in Christ, 930 Mason Avenue at 7 p.m. Hi, and welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Vite Radio Network. I'm Byron Tyler, and it's our pleasure, friend, to get together and really talk about this crusade that's coming up, as I mentioned, on April 4th at Mason Temple. And our guests today are going to share more details about the crusade. We have Bishop Clinton Bryant, and also we have Bishop Jerry Taylor.
Yes.
Gentlemen, welcome to Mid-South Viewpoint.
Yes, God bless you.
God bless you.
Bishop Taylor, I know that you are a dear friend of Mr. Dick Bott and have spent some time together.
Oh, yes. He's deeply in my heart. He paid for my family to have a free paid trip to go to the Creation Museum.
Oh, yes. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we also got a chance to view how they were making the animals and all of that for the Ark of Covenant. They were in the building process then.
That is an amazing project and all that's gone into that.
It is.
That really displays God's wonderful creation.
Oh, man, I tell you, it writes a vision of who God and how great he is.
He is. He is so great and so good. Bishop Clinton, have you been to the museum there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you've seen it too?
Yes, sir.
What were your impressions?
Well, we took a group of our youth members of our youth department there, and we had a wonderful experience. In fact, we took them back the following year to the Creation Museum. We went to the Ark first, and then we went back to the Creation Museum.
Okay. Now, originally, I believe that you had the Ministry of Hope of Glory, Church of God in Christ, but now you are the pastor of Gethsemane Garden Church of God in Christ. And how long have you been pastoring there?
I've been at Gethsemane Garden for 10 years.
Okay.
Bishop Samuel Lowe, who was the pastor and founder of Gethsemane Garden, was also my pastor while I was in college. Just before he passed, a year before he passed, he asked me to come home, and we united both ministries together.
You know, that is a beautiful thing, bishops, when you see mentoring in the ministry.
Yes.
I love that. I love that you had this relationship with your bishop, and it turned into him, here's the torch. You know, you run, you're going to run the next leg of this race.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that is great. And I think something similar, Bishop, your ministry spans some 43 years in our city. You married your childhood sweetheart.
Yeah, married her right out of high school, a year out of high school. We got married, and matter of fact, we'll be celebrating 50 years on May the 17th this year.
Well, and I know, Bishop, also you're celebrating 40 years,
yes,
I believe, this year, too.
Yes,
so
sir.
Some longevity in marriage.
Yes, sir.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But I know that God has also blessed you with grandchildren. You've got, is it three children?
I got three children, seven grand and one great grand and another great grand on the way.
Oh, another one on the way.
Yeah.
How about your quiver?
Three children, five grandchildren.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'd say there's nothing like grandchildren. Children. I haven't moved to the great-grandchildren yet, but I'll tell you, just being a grandparent's pretty special.
It is. It is.
Gentlemen, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, the Apostle Paul stood alone in Athens waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him. Mm-hmm. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
Yes.
At this time, Athens was the most celebrated city in Greece and the cultural capital of the world. It was renowned for arts, agriculture, poetry, philosophy. Mm-hmm. It was also known for its abundance of idol worship. For all of their intellectual advances, they were utterly pagan.
Yes.
Historians believe the city contained more than 3,000 public idols, plus thousands of smaller idols in homes. Now, when Paul stood looking at the bustling masses and cultural wealth, his soul was stirred. He was really grieved. He was burdened to see all of this because he saw their spiritually lost condition, and this motivated him to take action. He spoke in the synagogues with the devout persons in the market daily. And when given an opportunity, he spoke publicly in Mars Hill, explaining the Athenians were ignorantly worshiping a supposed God.
Yes.
And he urged them to turn to the genuine faith and the only true God,
yes,
the Lord God,
mm-hmm,
of heaven, the one we worship today,
amen,
who created the world and one day would judge the world. The judge was the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, who has risen, mm-hmm, from the dead, which we celebrate. Bishops, a lot hasn't changed too much since the Apostle Paul walked on this earth. For all our intellectual and scientific,
yes,
advances, we, like the citizens of Athens, are utterly pagan. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
How does the church today urge people to turn in genuine faith to obey the true God?
I believe we have to stick to the foundation of the Word of God. And the Bible said in the book of Jude that we would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered for the saints. So we've gotten so far off. The church have really lost this vision for what the purpose of the church really is. And when Paul saw that, and we see it now even trying to creep in some of our churches, idolatry is so prevalent now that people worship anything other than the one true God.
Yes. And, you know, I heard one of my pastors preach this weekend at our church. He was talking about, some people say, how gruesome it is to think about all the sacrifices the Jewish people made, you know, on behalf of sin. And he just reminded people about all the sacrifices we make and our idol worship of going to sports arenas,
yeah,
and all the chickens that are sacrificed to make those chicken wings, right? And things that we enjoy.
Yeah.
But really, in different ways, but we still have these same idols.
Amen. I agree 100%. I think that the church, the body of Christ, we have the answer that this community and our world needs. And as Bishop Taylor just said, we have to go back to the foundational principles that Christ left for the body of Christ. We need to show this world the Christ of the Bible.
Yes.
Amen.
The
Christ of the Bible.
A Gallup poll reported a record low 20% of Americans now say the Bible is the literal word of God. That's down from 24% the last time the question was asked back in 2017.
Yes.
A new high of 29% say the Bible is a collection of fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do you believe Americans are not viewing the Bible as the inspired literal word of God?
I believe it's because of the prosperity. Men have gotten so prosperous, and it have taken the place of God, because it said you cannot serve two masters. That's what it said in Matthew 6:24. And so many people are trying to serve two masters. You either got to serve God or serve mammon. So right now, you said it earlier about the sports world, the arena, everything is worshiped but God. Think about it. Sunday used to be the Lord's day all day. Now you can hardly get 45 minutes out of people on Sunday. So we got to go back to show and tell when it comes to the Bible, because just to talk about it and to just have faith, you know, that's not enough. You got to be able to show and tell. Now, what is God doing for me? How is he active in my life?
Amen.
I think that's so important, gentlemen. We're not talking about a religion. We're talking about a relationship,
yes,
with,
yes,
the living God.
That's,
yes,
it.
Right,
that's it.
Bishop Bryant?
Yes, sir. A relationship. That's the key word. We're talking about a relationship. And that's what Christ affords us, a relationship with him, a living relationship. Right now, this world is looking for someone to love them. They're looking for someone to connect with. They're looking for someone to see them. And that's what the church offers. We're yet saying, come over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to show the love of Christ in every area,
yes,
of our lives.
Amen. Bishop Taylor, since 1981, when you were born again into God's kingdom,
yes,
through Christ's work on the cross, the gospel, you have been associated with the Church of God in Christ now for, as I mentioned, 43 years.
Yes.
What has God continued to teach you through all these years?
He continues to teach me that if I stay humble, he can use me. I think sometimes even positions cause people to lose sight of God. Even when I became a bishop, that didn't make me lose sight of God.
Amen.
And I think sometimes prosperity, position, and power makes people lose that. I think the more God bless you, the more humble you should be, and he can use you even more. We're nothing but servants.
Amen.
And stewards over what God has placed us over.
You know, something I did not realize about you is that you are a contractor, a builder.
Yes. Well, I did some building. Matter of fact, I just finished a piece. I did a miniature Mason temple. I built it, and I'm getting it ready to present to our presiding bishop April when we have the April call meeting.
Yes.
And God has blessed my hands. You know, walking to church, there's stuff that I built, octave covenants, pulpits, welcome centers. It started when I was early in the ministry, and the Lord told me to move. And we moved, we had 4 acres of land, and we had nowhere to go. The Lord told me to go down to National Library, which was on Central at that time, and get a book, and I'm going to show you how to build a house. The gift was already there, but I hadn't tapped into it.
So I know in my mind, I built all kinds of neat projects and things, but getting the thoughts into my hands and hammering the hammer. And the, are you with me, Bishop Ryan?
I'm with you.
Okay. So that's not your gift?
That's
either?
Not my gift.
Okay, I'm not alone. All right. I think that's wonderful, though. I'm always impressed with how the handiwork that many men and women, too, are able to use the hands that God gave them in the minds to create and build these things. And really, in your case, as you contributed back to the church, it's been a service to the church, and I think that's just a beautiful thing. At the start of your salvation point there in 81, and for the next 7 years, you served as a deacon. You also aiding your pastor, appointed an assistant pastor, and ordained as an elder before founding the Holy City Church of God in Christ back in 1988.
Yes.
What was God doing in your life that led you to plant this church?
Well, He kept motivating me to see what He was doing from a brother to a deacon, a minister to an elder, and then a superintendent. It was like chapters in my life that God was unfolding. And as I was sitting there serving with my pastor, and I told him, I said, I don't know why, but I feel like I must obey God. And for a year, I sat there and didn't do anything. And I had a real bad accident. And I think the Lord was using that to get my attention. And when I had that real bad accident, I walked away from it, walked home. Right at my home, I had a bad accident. My wife didn't even know I was gone. So I walked back home, and the man that involved in the accident, they had to carry him away in the ambulance. He didn't die, but he was seriously injured. And I didn't have any insurance. And I felt like Jonah. When God told him to go to Nineveh, he went the other way. And that's what I was doing. But after that accident, I decided to go to Nineveh.
He got your attention.
He got my attention.
He got your attention. Well, there are so many other ways that you have led and served the Lord through the Church of God in Christ that really we could sit here, Bishop Bryant, do several radio shows and not cover everything. But back in November of 2016, you were one of the midday speakers during the 109th Holy Convocation of the Church of God in Christ. The title of your message then was How to Maintain in a Violent and Immoral World. In light of violence and immorality surrounding us today, how does the message of the gospel provide us our greatest hope?
Well, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Our theme last year was that God is with us as we move forward. He said, Lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. And we take that to heart, knowing that whatever He allows, situation or circumstances, it has a purpose and a reason for it. So that inspires me to do this crusade this year, from a march last year, saving 901, to now doing crusades citywide in Memphis.
Right. Are you gentlemen seeing more or less people respond to the preaching of the gospel from the time you first started your ministries, Pastor Bryant?
Well, I also have been in ministry now. I've been pastoring. This is my 33rd year. I accepted Christ in 1976, started preaching in 1981. But at this point in my ministry, this is one of the most challenging times. People are so preoccupied with so many other things when we're preaching the gospel. They have access to too many social media accounts, and they're not really listening to what we're saying. Just to be able to get their attention and to keep their attention for 10 minutes, you're doing great.
Yes.
And so people, to me, right now, this particular time in ministry, I think we're not just preaching to a people, but we're preaching also trying to be heard through thousands of voices that they're listening to daily through social media. And it seems to be the challenge that we're facing.
Well, don't you gentlemen think that's really a lie from the enemy to keep us so busy? Even when we go to sleep, we have these podcasts or we have these noises to kind of fill our heads while we sleep. So there's this constant bombardment of information and filling, you know, our minds with things that we don't have those pull away times. We feel uncomfortable when there's silence to listen to God's voice.
Amen.
I think that virtually it has really handicapped what God really wants to do.
Amen, Bishop.
So many people I come in contact, just in the bank on yesterday, I was telling a young man, I said, moved here from Mississippi. I said, come on to our church, you know. He said, well, I'm a church a little closer, it's cars. Then another lady that waited on me, she said, well, I really haven't been back to church in 3 years. I don't have no excuse, but I listen to it on virtual Facebook. I said, but it's nothing like coming with fellowship, as it said in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. God's word said we should come together. And now we're having more people not wanting to come together. They'll go to sports arena, they'll go to anywhere else. But when it's time to come to church, they have all the excuses.
You know, Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If that was the reason Christ came to earth, and the last thing he told his disciples before leaving the earth in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay? Now, why has the church seemed to be entangled with protocol, programs, and procedures while ignoring our purpose to seek the lost and make disciples?
I think it's just another tactic and distraction of the devil, another counterfeit tool of the devil to take us away from our responsibility and our ministry and our mission. I think we are so engulfed with so many other things that we're failing to do the one thing, that one thing that Christ wants the body of Christ to do, and that's to make souls, disciple people to the kingdom. And I think we've got to get back to that. Let me say this, Byron. Even though we're seeing such a falling away in the church, I am yet seeing glimpses of his grace. I'm seeing younger people coming to church now. We are winning souls. Last month, we took in about 15 souls that are coming to the kingdom. So I'm seeing his word fulfilled, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And so I believe that Christ is going to come back for his church, spotless church, and it's going to be a glorious church. And I believe he's going to yet have a people who are going to yet give him the glory and the praise.
I also concur, you know, sometimes the devil, he magnifies what he does. He makes a molehill look like a mountain. And sometimes our media, it can take our media, make our city look like it's the worst city in the world. But there are some great people in the city. We got young people going off to college that being doctors, lawyers, all types of degrees. But that is not put out there. So in the end, God is winning.
Amen.
He's so diverse around the world. Satan can't win with God no matter how he tried. If he throw a curve, God's still going to knock it out the park because he's in control of everything. He operates under his permissive and perfect will. He's permitting Satan to do what he does right now, and it is only to bring about his kingdom, cause heaven to rejoice even the more.
Amen.
That is a good word, Bishop Taylor. Thanks so much for sharing that. How are you hoping that the Unity for Souls Crusade on April 4th at the historic Mason Temple will impact those most that attend?
I'm believing that God purposed this. God is always driven by purpose. Everything he does has a purpose in mind. We are unifying ourselves. This has been one of the elements that's been missing. Everybody's going different directions, doing their own thing. So this is the unity worship service that we're having, unifying ourselves to crusade for lost souls, which that is the purpose of all of us that is pastors over church. So if we come together, no matter what ecumenical group that we're under, if we stand on that same principle of God's word that Jesus came and died to save the lost, then we can help turn people's lives around. That person that we save, the devil could use them, if they don't get saved, to be a mass murderer.
Yes, sir.
Or be a violent person, or a carjacker, or a drug dealer. Such was some of us. But look what God did. Mm-hmm. He turned our life around. And now we're a new creation in him. Devil had another purpose for me. I know he did.
Amen.
I wouldn't be here, I don't believe, sitting here.
Me too, brother.
Amen.
How have you seen God work through crusades in the past that you've conducted?
Well, we had a march in 2015. We marched from Mason Temple to the Civil Rights Museum. And we had about 3,000 people on the street. And that was kind of laying the foundation. Then we did and moved to an Impact Memphis, all four corners of Memphis, the urgency to impact Memphis. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing, we're planting and we're watering.
Yes, sir.
But Amen. God give the increase.
Amen. I love that. Bishop Taylor and also Bishop Bryant, could you maybe share what the gospel is and why the gospel is so important to the people listening to our show right now? Because I think it needs to be defined.
Amen. Well, the gospel is the good news. It's the good news. And if ever there was a time people needed good news,
Yes. They
need it now. It's the good news, even as we are now in our Passion Week. But the good news is Christ died,
Yes. But
he rose again. And so that's what we were sharing to people. The same God of the Bible, the same God, the Christ that rose from the dead. Amen. He's able to resurrect you no matter what situation, what condition, no matter what you're facing. He can raise you from that situation and give you new life. And herein is life, that God gives us eternal life if we accept him as our Savior.
Now, that's powerful news. You can't get better news than that.
That's it.
When at the end of the journey, your destiny is going to be secured.
Amen.
In the day of salvation, he said, I've secured thee for eternity.
Yes.
He called us to virtue and glory. So
Amen.
The gospel came to open the blinded eyes, reclaim the backsliders.
Yes.
The gospel is good news that people need to hear.
Amen.
It was for the poor. The poor seemingly responds to the gospel more quicker than those that are not poor. Around the world, people are coming to the Lord by the thousands.
Yes, sir.
That don't have the lifestyle that we have. So the gospel, what gives them hope? It's the hope that will not let you be made ashamed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, to be lost is to be unable with the eyes of your heart to see the glory of Christ. In being saved in Christ, there's justification by faith alone, apart from our works, forgiveness of sins, removal of the wrath of God, the liberation from slavery to sin, deliverance or rescue from hell, access to heaven, eternal life, free to love like Jesus loved, deliverance from all pain, sickness, and conflict. But to see Christ in the fullness of his glory is the ultimate.
Yes.
We get the whole package, right?
Yes.
To see him, our Savior, that's what our ultimate purpose is, right, Bishop?
It's purpose there. I mean, it's purpose that drives you. When you have a vision and see what Christ has done, I mean, in his resurrection, the Bible said the graves popped open when they crucified him. And when he got up, he led them up.
Yes, sir.
I mean, what better hope? Those people have been dead for centuries, hundreds of years, proved not only that he could raise Lazarus, but raise himself up. And although they've been dead for many years.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, God, this has been so great. Well, Unity for Souls Crusade, upholding the legacy of saving lost souls, Thursday, April 4th, 7 p.m. At the historic Mason Temple, Church of God in Christ, 930 Mason Avenue. Any other details we need to finish up our show with, we need to share?
Well, we're really trying to not only allow this to be at Mason Temple, but ongoing. We're coming together, and I believe God is going to magnify himself in such a great way. In our jurisdiction, we have 80 churches, and we have 12 districts, and we divide them up into 12 tribes of Israel. And we're encouraging all of the people. God said, go viral with the word of mouth. And I believe if we go viral the way the Lord said, he's going to give us favor.
Amen.
Bishop Bryant, if you're not associated with the Church of God in Christ, you might be part of another church in our city. Can you still come on April 4th?
Most certainly. And we're hoping that you will. This is not a Kojic event.
No.
This is not a Church of God in Christ event. This is a kingdom event.
Amen.
We're saying to Memphis, in order for us to take our streets back, in order for us to change the image of Memphis, let's come together. Let's stand in that pulpit together and lift up Jesus. Let's sing Zion songs and talk about our Christ, and let the community see that we're united. We're united for one purpose, and that's to win souls.
So really change is going to happen. It's going to need to be through hearts changed in Christ first. Would you agree, Bishop?
Yes.
Well, it's the Unity for Souls Crusade, friends, upholding the legacy of saving lost souls, Thursday, April 4th at the historic Mason Temple Church of God in Christ, 7 p.m., 9:30 Mason Avenue. And we're encouraging you, before you come, start praying.
Yes.
Let's pray now for our city. We know the things of concern, and let's put those up before the Lord and then come as God's people to worship and to pray that more people will enter His kingdom for His glory.
Yes.
Bishop Bryant, Bishop Taylor, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming here on Mid-South Viewpoint today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And God bless you, Dick and Rich.
All right.
Bless you. Thank you for
having
us.
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint here on the Bot Radio Network. I'm Byron Tyler. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.